Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Chapter 2, verse 10, I'm going to read this. I'm going to try to preach. Is that okay with you guys? Let's read this together. Somebody said no. Whatever. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshiped him. Can you imagine some of the wealthiest men in society, grown men, bowing before a two-year-old? Try to wrap your mind around that. Like literally worshiping a baby. Like sometimes we read stuff and we're like, no, they worshiped a baby. It says, then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father God, we're grateful that you have no rival. You have no equal. Both now and forever you reign. God, we gather today. We stop in our day to give you glory and to say thank you for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Before you sit down, find two people and tell them, I really like your ugly sweater. Come on now, tell somebody. I love your ugly sweater. It was not supposed to be an ugly sweater. I actually thought it looked good, but I also got dressed in the dark, so. This is your first time. Welcome to Destiny Harvest. My name is Stephen Chandler, the senior pastor. Man, we are just grateful that you joined us on this Christmas Eve. We know that there's plenty of places that you could have been, and just spending time with us, it really means the world. We're grateful that you reserve tickets. That's all the way cool. I don't know about this ticket stuff. I ain't getting no ticket to church. Church is free. I'm just going to church and, you know, it's ticket. We're grateful that you guys reserved tickets and just joined us. And here's our prayer. Our prayer is that you feel at home. I don't know what your experience has been, but at Destiny Harvest, we want your first time to feel like you've been here for your entire life, that this feels like family and this is a place that you're welcomed. Amen. I'm going to give you guys just quick two updates, and then we're going to jump into the message. The first thing is this. Next Sunday is a don't-miss Sunday. Like, you absolutely have to be here. There's two reasons. The first reason is because my father is preaching next Sunday. And many of you have never even met my dad or heard my dad, but my dad actually planted this church 20 years ago, back in 1997, and he's going to join us next Sunday and end out the year for us. And then the second reason you have to come next Sunday is because we are announcing next Sunday our move-in date into our brand new building. It is signed in stone. We know when it is going to be, and I do know when it's going to be, and I'm not going to tell you right now because I need you to come back next week, so I'll just hold on to that for a week. And then next Sunday evening, we have our New Year's Eve Catalyst Worship Experience. It's going to be at 6 p.m. that evening. How many people have never been to Catalyst? I've barely been to Destiny Harvest, bruh. I'm just checking it out. Well, I'm telling you, Catalyst is just you just can't miss it. It's an extended time of worship where we really just take time to allow God to really meet us where we are. And I am telling you, it's in those times, literally, that God brings peace, that he brings healing. The best message you will ever hear preached in your life doesn't come from a preacher. It comes from when God speaks to you himself in that moment of worship, in that moment of surrender. So I encourage you, end your year worshiping God, thanking him for what he has done and what he's going to do in 2018. And it's 6 to 8 o'clock. So come worship God and then go turn up and you can repent the next week. It's so not good, so not true. It's pretty sacrilegious. God, forgive me. Anyway. But before all the New Year's stuff, there's still Christmas coming. Anybody know Christmas is tomorrow, ready or not? Here it comes. I don't know why. Christmas is on the calendar for the entire year, but somehow it just seems to sneak up on me. I just don't know. It's just like, man, where in the world did this Christmas deal come from? I don't know about you, but Christmas for me is just a little bit stressful. It's kind of like, where do you spend Christmas at? Do you go to the in-laws? Do you go to the outlaws? Do you stay home and make up an excuse why you can't go anywhere? And what are we going to cook? You can't do Chick-fil-A on Christmas, even though I'd really enjoy that, but you actually have to cook some type of food. And then the whole gift-giving thing. I know this is not good for a pastor to say. I'm supposed to be generous. I'm supposed to be nice, but I can't afford therapy, so I preach. So I just give you guys the honest truth. I hate buying gifts. I hate buying gifts. You're like, oh, Scrooge, I'm sorry. I hate buying gifts. I have a big family. There's five of us. They're all either married or engaged, so that makes 10. Then my dad and his wife, that's 12. Then my grandma and little sister, that's 14. And then there's a bunch of random people calling themselves Chandlers, and we haven't been able to disprove them yet, so we just kind of pull them in. So by the time it's all done, it's like an army that walks in on Christmas Day. Have you ever tried to get a gift exchange done in an army? Get everybody to tell you what they want, what size they wear, what you got them last year, because you can't get them the same thing this year as you got them last year. I mean, I didn't buy that gift last year. Somebody gave it to me, and I hated it, and I regifted it and gave it to them, but I got to remember what that was and who I gave to what. And then you just have those people that they're just not happy no matter what you get them. For you people out there who aren't happy what anybody gets you, let me just tell you, I don't care. This Christmas, I don't care. I got it. I'm not giving you a gift receipt. You can't return it. You can't exchange it. You can't take it back. If you're not happy, tell somebody who cares. It's not me, but tell somebody else. Gift giving is just stressful. Pray for me. I need a little bit more Jesus than I have right now. Now, some of you aren't stressed at all because you started your gift shopping like July 4th. You were done by Labor Day, and you were just done. That's not me. After this service, I'm going to the mall to figure out what I'm going to do. For anybody else in here, you're sitting in your seat praying, Jesus, let there be a gift somewhere in there. Amazon Prime, let me down. I got to figure this out. I don't know how Christmas is going to work. Christmas is just one of those holidays that it's not supposed to be stressful, but it kind of ends up being stressful. I was thinking as I was preparing this message this week about why is Christmas such a big deal? Not in the United States, in the entire world throughout history. Why is Christmas such a big deal? And something struck me. It does not matter your culture, your race, your background, your religion. The entire world is defined by the event that took place this Christmas holiday that we celebrate. If you think about it, every history book, they mark time by BC and AD. BC meaning before Christ. AD meaning, I was talking to somebody the other day, AD means after death, right? No. It's Anno Domini, which is Latin, which means the year of our Lord. Every single person on the planet, they determine this year based on when Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Every time somebody says 2017, what they're saying is it has been 2017 years since the creator of the universe took on the humanity that he was and walked this earth. It literally defines all of history. It's not just a holiday to buy gifts and to celebrate, but it's literally what the entire world revolves around. I'm a pastor's son, if you haven't heard. I grew up in church, which means I have issues, plenty of them. I don't have a lot of time to tell you about all my issues. Maybe we could have coffee sometime, and I can cry and tell you about all this going on in my life. But the one issue that I have is around kind of the Christmas story. My dad's not here, so I could tell you this right now. But when we were kids, before we were able to open Christmas gifts, we were required to read the Christmas story. They make it like that. It's about Jesus, and you don't get gifts till you read about Jesus. And depending on how much we acted up, depended upon how much of the Christmas story we read. So if we were good, we got to read Luke chapter 2, which is only like 12, 13 verses. It's great. She got knocked up. They went to Bethlehem. They gave birth. Magi came. End of story. It was great. Easy. But if we were bad behaved, kind of like I'm doing right now, then we would go to Matthew. And Matthew starts out with Adam begot Seth, and Seth begot, listen, if the Christmas story starts with Adam, you are in trouble. And if we were really like out of control and just not doing it, we would go all the way back to Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that's 700 years before he ever came. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Many of you have heard that Christmas story over and over and over and over again. But if you really think about it, there's a million different messages for a million different people in that one story. If you think about Mary, who was engaged to marry the love of her life until she got pregnant, oh, that's a problem. That kind of messed up her plans. Have you ever had your plans messed up? Any five-year planners in here like me? You already know where you're going on vacation in 2019? Yeah, 19, not 18. Planners. She had her whole life planned out. She had picked her dress. She had told all the bridesmaids what to wear. They had put a down payment on the Jerusalem wedding hall that they were going to get married in. And then she's pregnant. And she had the nerve to say, God, let it be unto me according to your will. In other words, God, I am willing to surrender my plans. Because even though I don't agree with what you're doing in my life right now, God, I know that all things work together for my good. And if you've made this detour in my life, you must be working it out. What about Joseph? The Bible says that when he found out that she was pregnant by a guy named Angel, that she was like, I don't got nothing to do with this. And he went down to the courthouse to file his divorce papers. You see, it was a little bit different back then. Back then, if you got engaged, you don't just give a ring back and say it's over. You actually had to get a divorce from an engagement. And he's literally contemplating this divorce, and an angel comes to him and said, no, Mary's not lying. This is actually a God thing. Are you willing to humble yourself and not be so concerned about what people think of you so that God can do something supernatural in your life? And Joseph said, it's fine. Everybody's going to laugh at me. I will be a public humiliation, but I'll be a man after God's own heart. They make their trip to Bethlehem, and we all know the story. Joseph forgot to make a reservation on hotel.com, so they end up in a stable. They give birth to this baby with all these smelly, stinky animals around. And the Bible says that they wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. There was only two purposes for swaddling cloth. They used swaddling cloth either to clean up after animals or to wrap up the dead. When somebody died, they would take swaddling clothes and they would wrap up the money and put them in the tomb for the time that it took the body to decompose down to woods. From the second Jesus was born, he was wrapped and prepared for his death, because the only reason he came on this planet is to die on the cross for you and for I, so that we don't have to pay the penalty for our sins. I wanted to preach one message, but there's like 15 in this one story. Then you think about when the creator of the universe was born, God the Father went and he told the shepherds. You got to understand, shepherds were the most lowliest, disgusting, uneducated. Some felt that they weren't even mentally stable. They were the low of the low of society. And these are the men that God decided to announce the greatest event in history to. My wife and I, we have a 16-month-old daughter. Oh, God, I can't deal. A 16-month-old. She acts like she's 16 years old. She runs my life. She tells me she runs the world, but I'm fighting that. I remember when she was first born, I was a little bit in shock, traumatized. All the men know, but that's like our first one. I was just like, where am I? What's going on? My wife was like, give me the epidural. Why are you using it? It was a lot. And it came to the moment where it's like, okay, we have to call somebody. Do I call my dad first and tell him, hey, I did it, Dad. I made one. We're getting it done. It's great. Do I call her mom? Like, that first call, it's a big deal. God called shepherds. God called nobodies. Just so that every single one of us could understand that no matter what mistake you have made in your life, Jesus is for you. He didn't come just for the educated. He didn't come just for the wealthy. He didn't come for people who have it all together or at least pretend like they do. He is the Savior of the world. And then finally, the three wise men. I have some bad news for you. I'm going to ruin your Christmas. Is it okay if I ruin your Christmas? There's nowhere in the Bible where it says there was three wise men. There could have been one. There could have actually been 1,000, but it doesn't say there was three. The only reason we assume there was three is because there were three gifts.
gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There could have been one dude who was just loaded and just brought it all and was just like, Jesus, there you go. But we say three because there was three gifts. They brought gold because he was a king. They brought frankincense because he was God. And they brought myrrh, which was a burial spice that got ready people for burial. I have one more thing to ruin your Christmas. The wise men, they never made it to the stable. They were running late. They did not reserve tickets. They did not leave early. The Bible says that they actually went to Jesus' house. They had moved on up. They had got a house on the east side. They got out of the stable. Joseph got his life together. And Jesus was actually about 2 years old when these educated, wealthy men walked into his house and dropped these gifts before him and worshiped baby Jesus. And this thought crossed my mind. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. Somebody say, I knew that. And it's customary to get somebody a gift for their birthday. So in all the running around and all the purchasing of gifts for cousins that you haven't spoke to all year long, for all the trying to figure out how to make this recipe and do this and do this, let us not forget to get a gift for the one whose birthday we're actually celebrating. What do you get Jesus for his birthday? Like, that's complicated. Like, what do you get Jesus for his birthday? I have a riddle for you. I bet you can't figure it out. I ran it by my entire staff, all the pastors. None of them could figure it out. You ready for the riddle? What do you get God for his birthday that he really, really wants, he did not create, and he doesn't have it? What do you get God for his birthday that he really, really wants, he did not create, and he doesn't have it? Oh, I know where he's going with this. He's trying to take an offering. I see this coming. He's trying to get up in my pockets. He says, preacher, I left my wallet in the car. Sorry. You can't give God an offering for Christmas because everything in your wallet he already owns. Got him! I got it. I'm going to give him my heart. That's where you're going, preacher. You want me to give Jesus my heart? I get it. It's Christmas. Give Jesus. You can't give him your heart. He made your heart. He's the one that has kept it beating all these times. You can't give him something he's already made. There's only one thing any of us can ever give to God that he really wants, he did not create, and he doesn't have it. You know what that is? It's our sin. The only thing that you can give God that he did not create, he does not already have, and he really, really wants is the jacked up parts of our lives. I don't know how you grew up. I grew up that you don't play with church and you don't play with Christmas. When Christmas comes around, you're going to act right. You're going to get dressed. You're going to wear what I told you to wear. And you're going to smile in that picture. I don't care if you're happy or not. Go to church. That's just how I grew up. I literally, my mom gave birth on a Sunday. My dad was preaching. They snatched him out the pulpit, said, hey, bro, let somebody else finish the message. You got a son coming. I've been in church my entire life. I was in church with the flu. I was in church with chicken pox. I always say, I went to church more than God went to church because I went to some services and God was not there. I'm just like, dude, how did you leave me? But so often we're so trained to look the part. You're doing it right now. You look amazing. You have your Sunday best on. You got your hair done. Your curls are popping. Your shape up is good. You got your hair flicked just the right way. Got the grease just to stay. I mean, you're just in it. You look amazing. Whole time you fought all the way to church. You slap your kid right before you got in the door. Just, you don't, shh. Bless the Lord. It is so good to be in that. You're laughing because you know it's the truth. And the problem is we're so used to pretending like we're okay in front of people that when we become before God, we still pretend like we're okay. Not understanding that God doesn't want you to fix yourself up. He doesn't need you to fix yourself up. He wants you just the way that you are. And listen to me, when you bring that jacked up stuff in your life to God, he's not going to respond like, psh, it's about time. Gosh, you know, I've been telling you about this your entire life. I mean, I wrote an entire book about it. It's called the Bible. You should read it sometime. That's not how God responds. He literally responds, for me? You're really giving that to me? Watch this. It's all I've ever wanted. Don't you understand? The only reason I came to this earth was to die on the cross just so I could receive that gift from you. All of them. The Bible says that God delights. He finds joy in showing mercy. I get it. Holiday season is busy. You probably don't even have time to sit down right now. You're on Instagram kind of saying hi to people and all this kind of stuff. And you'll run out here and get that gift you've forgotten. But I just feel that at some point in this holiday season and all the busyness, we should steal away. Even if you have to lock yourself in a bathroom just to get away from your kids. It doesn't work at my house. Zoe's just like, are you in there? Are you okay? At some point, we should steal away and we should say, Jesus, I have a gift for you this Christmas. My marriage is not working. But Jesus, here it is. Jesus, here's my addiction. Jesus, here's my insecurity. Here's that situation that I never really have ever told the truth about. But God, I give it to you. God, here's that thing I'm ashamed about. Here's that thing that's pretty ugly. And God, I don't really believe that you want it, but the preacher said you want it, so I'm going to give you a shot. God, here's the things that I'm ashamed. And I'm telling you, in that moment, you're going to experience the love of God literally wrapping his arms around you saying, that's all I ever wanted. I have a friend, he actually goes to this church, and he invited me to his birthday party. And I'm a little bit of a birthday snob, so I'm just like, what y'all doing? I don't know. I tell you what you're doing, if I'm going to come or not. And he said, hey, we're going to this restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs. I was there. I'm from Baltimore. All you can eat crabs. Like, let's do this. Let's go. So I get in there, and literally, it was all you can eat crabs out in Canton. They just kept dumping them on the table, and I just kept eating and eating and eating. People were talking. I wasn't talking. I just was business. It comes to the end of the meal, and they start passing the check around, and I kind of dig into my pocket with my little Old Bay. My wife hates the smell of Old Bay because she's like, it just lasts forever. That's a little seasoned salt for y'all from Baltimore. It's called Old Bay, but I just love it. I don't even wash my hands properly because the next 3 days, I'm just like, whew. I just love the smell of Old Bay. So I'm digging in my wallet. You know what I'm talking about. I'm digging in my pocket trying to get my wallet to pay this bill. The bill comes around to me, and I look at it, and it's already been paid, already been signed. There is no bill. And I'm like, it's a miracle, praise the Lord. No, like, so for real, who paid the bill? And I'm looking around, who paid the bill? Turns out that the birthday boy paid the bill. I said, dude, you're not from where I'm from. Because where I'm from, if it's my birthday, I'm not paying any bill. All y'all paying $5, everybody chop it up. Come on. Come on, just put it all together. Y'all, am I the only one? If it's my birthday, I eat free, and I'm ordering the steak and the lobster. Like, and he said, no, it's my birthday, but the greatest gift you could have ever gotten me was you showing up. You're weird. Who gives on their birthday? Well, that guy does. And Jesus does. I want to submit to you this Christmas that Jesus would like to engage in a gift exchange with you. Jesus' greatest desire, the only gift you could get him that he actually wants is your sin. But he's not just going to take it and say, I love you. He actually wants to give you something in exchange. Can I give you the three gifts that God gives us in exchange when we bless him with our sin? First thing is this, you write this down. The faster you write, the faster I preach. The first thing is this, he gives me salvation. The second you give God your sin is the second he gives you salvation. I call it this, the gift for your past. So many people live life tormented by the mistakes you made in the past. Man, it's in the past, but I can't make up for it. There's nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. It's going to affect me for the rest of my life. I hope the person I'm dating now never finds out about what happened back then. I hope my kids never go on MySpace or Black Planet and find out what happened back then. God, oh, I really hope. I hope my yesterday doesn't affect my tomorrow. Not understanding that God wants to give you a gift that forever cancels your yesterday and gives you hope for tomorrow. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. Watch this. Read this with me. It's a gift. I feel like sometimes we act like being a Christian is an obligation. Oh, I'm saved. Can't go there. Can't say that. You lucky I'm saved. Don't make me backslide all over you. Salvation is not an obligation. It's not as standards of perfection that are inattainable, but you spend the rest of your life trying to attain. Salvation is a free gift from Almighty God that literally says, as far as the east is from the west, I have made a decision to never bring your mistakes up again, but to treat you the same way I would treat my son, Jesus Christ. For me, salvation was never an obligation because I know what it's like not to be saved. I remember what it was like to go to church as the pastor's son and to sing about a God that I did not know. I remember sitting in church and watching people with their hands lifted and tears rolling down their face and being frustrated and angry. It does not take all that to worship God. Be quiet, I can't hear the man preach. I remember just watching people, and what I realized is that frustration and that anger in me, it wasn't really frustration and anger. It was the reality that they had a relationship with a God that I had never met. And I remember I was in my room one day, I was a teenager, and I was just overcome with this double life that I was living. And I said, God, if you're real, the audacity of a teenager to challenge the reality of God. But I said, God, if you're real, prove yourself to me. Here's the funny part. I said, God, if you can't prove yourself to me, when I turn 18, I'm never coming to church again. I said, the pastor's kid. So you're 18, you going to church. Okay, as long as you live here, you're going to church. I said, God, as soon as I move out, I'm never coming back. And I remember in that moment, for the first time ever, physically feeling guilt and shame lift off of me. Literally feeling for the first time accepted by the creator of the universe. No longer ashamed or afraid of people finding out about my yesterday, knowing that Christ accepted me no matter what. When I woke up the next morning, it wasn't an obligation of I need to jump over this religious bar that God set. It was, oh my gosh, I can't believe I am accepted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in spite of who I am. Salvation is a gift. The second thing he wants to give you is this. God gives me peace of mind. There are so many people that are tormented by their thoughts. Even in this moment, you've been sitting in this service, and honestly, you haven't heard a word I've said. Because you can't stop repeating in your mind this situation or that situation or this circumstance or that circumstance. I find so often when we're tormented in our mind, when we can't even have just a little bit of peace, it usually falls under one of three categories. The first is guilt. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I'm struggling to provide for my family. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe, or overcome by I can't believe. The second is grief. So many of us can't think clearly because we're overwhelmed by what we've lost. After first service, a girl came up crying to me and she said, this is the fifth Christmas I'm going to spend without my father. Thank you. She said, thank you, because in the first service I said that this is my fifth Christmas that I'm spending without my mother. And anybody who's lost someone, you know it's around the holidays that you kind of feel it the most. My mom used to make a sweet potato casserole with like an inch thick of brown sugar and walnuts on top. And ever since she's passed, other people in the house, they make the same casserole, but it's just not like mama's casserole. They mince the walnuts up. Mama never minced the walnuts up. What is that? And you're just feeling in this moment all that you've lost. Maybe it's not a loved one that you lost. Maybe it's a business, or maybe it's a relationship, or whatever it may be, but guilt, grief, and grudges. So many of us are overcome with thoughts about someone who's done us wrong. Someone who did not say sorry, who was not there for us, who overlooked us, who fired us, who rejected us, or whatever it may be. And that person, what they've done in your life is just kind of overwhelming your thoughts. Well, I believe that God brought you here this morning to say, can we make an exchange? Can you give me that and I'll give you my peace that surpasses all understanding? It will guard your heart and it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. God has a gift for you today. John 14, 27, it says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that Jack Daniels cannot give. It's a gift that a pill can't give, a doctor can't give, a promotion can't give, amount of zeros in your bank account. God says the gift of peace that I give, the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If you want, you can walk out of here with the torment you came in with. But there's a gift that's sitting under your tree. It's called peace. And God really wants you to open it. The last gift is this. He gives me eternal life. He gives me salvation for my yesterday. He gives me peace for my today. And he gives me eternal life for my future. I don't know about you. I'm normally a peaceful guy. I'm normally a calm guy. That's not very believable right now. But I'm normally kind of cool, calm, and collected. But every once in a while, I just start freaking out about tomorrow. It's just like I have no idea what it's going to look like. Sometimes I'm full of optimism and it's going to be great. Sometimes I turn over the news and I'm just like, man, tomorrow I'm going to be a Russian citizen. Like, they're going to come. It's going to be over. My brain kind of goes there. So often the future can be unnerving, whether it's next week, next month, or next year. What is that going to look like? God says, I desire to give you eternal life so that you can understand that I exceed time. And even when time stops, I keep going and I have it all worked out for your good. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life that does not end through Christ Jesus our Lord. So today the question to you is, will you participate in the gift exchange that Jesus has for you this Christmas? The reality is we're all in a gift exchange. Some of us give our all to a relationship, hopefully that it will erase our past. Some of us give our all to a business, hoping that it will bring security to our present. Some of us pour our all into our children and our family, hoping that they can have the future that we never had. But the reality is, the only exchange that brings security and peace in your life is not exchange with anything this world has to offer, but it's an exchange with the Creator of Christmas. Isaiah 61:3 says this, to console those who mourn in Zion. Here's the exchange. Jesus said, I want to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Maybe you've lost somebody. There is joy on the other side of that. There's hope on the other side of that. He said, the garment of praise for the spirit of depression and discouragement and heaviness. He said, I want to change their name. I want them to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God may be glorified. God says, I get happy when we exchange. The parts of your life that are too heavy for you to carry, give them to me, and I'll give you my peace and I'll give you my hope. Can we pray? Father God, we are so grateful. God, that you know the worst parts of us and you actually want them. And God, you want to trade them for peace and for hope and for joy.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.